Welcome to the Gastric Health Show, where we help you achieve the happiest and healthiest version of yourself by motivating you to eat, move, sleep, and think better. Today's show is brought to you by Gastric Health Club. Join our 30-day Back on Track food guidance class beginning October 22nd. Just click on the banner on the Gastric Health Show's Facebook page. Hello and welcome to the Gastric Health Show. My name is Dawn Boxall and I am your host. And today we are going to talk about lose more weight and by doing this one thing. So this will be a fun topic and it may not be what you're thinking about. So these podcasts are not intended for medical advice. Please talk to your doctor before implementing any of our strategies or work with a healthcare professional who is knowledgeable in the things that I talk about. Most conventional doctors are unaware of a lot of this because they have never been trained in it. So taking it to your family doctor, your OBGYN, or any of the ologists, you may not get much support. And it really, to their defense, it's because they have not been trained, so they don't even know this exists. So regardless, seek out someone that really has knowledge in this so that you're getting accurate advice and make sure that you are implementing the things that make the most sense for your health. And not everything that I talk about is going to be relevant for every person. So that's why you need a skilled practitioner that can help decipher and kind of sort through all the information that maybe you would bring to them and really apply what makes the most sense. So I hope that helps someone, but regardless, make sure you're seeking out the right people. I do see patients, so if you need a dietitian, I can help in some aspects of that. So feel free to check out our website, the Gastric Health Club store, and be happy to help kind of guide you in your health journey. So we would also love it if you would share all of these podcasts. If you find that they are helpful, we would appreciate if you share it with all your friends and other weight loss surgery patients who you might think that would help. So share away on the ones that you find the most beneficial. And then we finished our 10-day Back on Track challenge and getting to roll into our 30-day Back on Track class. And the deadline is for the discounted pricing is October the 12th. The class will be starting on October the 22nd. So if you haven't enrolled yet or registered for this 30-day class, we would love for you to join us. It's going to be a great class. If you've done our very first 30-day class back in the spring, feel free to join us again for this one. You have everything. You don't need another guide. We will be putting some new material on the daily educational things. And then the quiz you'll be able to take again to see if you can qualify for the Vitamix blender that we will be giving away. So anybody who did the initial 30-day class, we'd love for you to join us as well because it's always fun to have a bigger group and a big community of people doing the same thing together. Then if this is your first time with us, you can find me in the closed Facebook group, Gastric Health Club. So if you haven't joined us there yet, we'd love for you to join us in the Gastric Health Club to kind of, you know, interact with other people. And if you kind of believe in the whole aspect that food can be medicine and eating whole real food should be a part of everyone's life, then you would have fun in our group. So pop on over there, join us. If you're interested and maybe you're not quite sure about this whole real food and the food as medicine thing sounds wacko, then check us out anyway. See what we're all about. It is all based off of functional medicine principles. I have worked 20 years in bariatrics and just do a unique twist with functional medicine, which really just takes the best of the natural world and the best of the Western medicine, and it merges it together into functional medicine. So we have a bigger toolbox, and we have more resources and things, and sometimes better strategies than conventional medicine. And I will say that's probably the biggest complaint I get when I see patients at the center. That's the biggest complaint. They're tired of taking a pill and then taking another pill for the symptoms of that pill. So it's kind of unfortunate, but that's kind of the healthcare training at this point. It is in the works to change that they will have to have some nutrition training, and there are some medical schools changing that already. But until then, until all those are trained and it's more commonplace, you're not going to see everything. You're not going to have as much available to you. So check us out. If I scare you, I'm sorry. But really, this is a way to live. This is a way to really improve your health conditions by just changing your diet and lifestyle. So don't be afraid to check us out. We'd love to have you. So let's go to the topic. And the topic of lose more weight by doing this one thing. And I bet many of you have kind of spouted out a few things that you think it is. It might be food journaling. It might be exercising. It might be, just eating better, getting rid of the junk and all that. And although those are great things to apply to your life, I don't disagree with those. This one thing is something that I'm going a little deeper on from a previous podcast. I talked about hormones, and I'm digging a little deeper into one of the sex hormones of estrogen. And this estrogen it's very powerful, and it's not all bad. But I want you to see when it can turn bad and how impactful that can be to your weight, and why weight loss surgery is composed of mostly females and mostly 40 to 60 year olds is the typical age range that we have seen over, if you average it out over the course of the 20 years I've done it, that would be kind of the typical age range that we see a population with weight loss surgery. I think some of that could be shifting as the years go by with younger, a younger population. So those numbers, those ages could go down. But for the most part, with my experience, a lot of the people fall in kind of that age bracket. So estrogen is a thing in our 40s, 50s, and 60s that can contribute to weight gain and weight loss resistance. And that's why I'm covering it, because it's so powerful in so many great ways, and it can be so powerful in so many bad ways. So make sure that you're not leaving this podcast thinking that it's evil and you want to have no estrogen. That's not the goal. Because with that comes consequences too. So I want to show you how to do a balance, how to balance out your estrogen so that you feel good and your weight can be stable during those 40s, 50s, and 60s years, during your perimenopause and menopause and postmenopause. That's when a lot of weight gain can happen. So let's kind of dig in a little bit for this. And I'm going to try to not go too geeky and too deep on it, but I do want you to have some good foundations on this so that you feel confident when you're having a conversation with your doctor, and you can feel confident in the symptoms that you're having, that you kind of have an idea of the things that you can do to solve it. So really, estrogen, When you have too much estrogen, that is when it becomes problematic. And also when you have too little estrogen. So like when you're in after menopause, you have too little estrogen, and that's where they see weight gain and they see bone loss and, you know, lots of things changes, you know, mental clarity and all that can change because estrogen is very powerful in its role in our body. So excess estrogen is sometimes called estrogen dominance. Some people don't like to call it that. They just say excess estrogen. So whatever you want to call it to your doctor is totally cool with me. But some of them don't believe in estrogen dominance. But I will tell you, this is a real thing where you have excess estrogen. And it's really learning about kind of why are you having that? What is driving this? So estrogen dominance is where hormones are imbalanced and express more estrogen than other hormones. So the balance is off, the tightly regulated balance is off. And then if we have more fat stores in our body, guess what? That drives more estrogen to be produced. So it's kind of a vicious cycle. So if you start gaining weight from maybe other drivers, you're unknowingly increasing your estrogen because of that fat that is accumulating around your midsection. Some foods that can actually drive the estrogen up. So if you want to start thinking about, you know, why would I have extra, you can look at your diet as one piece of it. So things that have soy products in them that are kind of more manufactured. So think of soy milk, soy protein isolate, even tofu can be a driver of increasing estrogen. Then also the RBGH, that's in conventional dairy. This is a hormone that is in just your, you know, regular gallon of milk, unless it states right on there that it's RBGH free, then you are getting this hormone. And this is what they give cows to produce more milk. So they're doing this, they're increasing that estrogen to produce more milk. So, or they're increasing those hormones so that they can manufacture more of the milk from this one cow. So make sure if you are drinking conventional dairy and eating conventional dairy cheeses that you are looking on the package for RBGH free. And if you find the cheese and the milks that are organic or grass-fed, those are safe. So look for those that say grass-fed milk and grass-fed butter, grass-fed cheese. All those are going to be more protective. And then looking for the organic would be ideal as well. Then also, if you're eating a diet of excess sugars and packaged processed crappy foods, it's full of kind of chemicals. A good example I like to use is those 100 calorie snack packs that people seem to feel like they're doing good because they're 100 calories. But in one package, less than an ounce, and I can't remember which flavor it was, but it was one of them that it actually had 30 ingredients in less than an ounce of food. And it was just all processed chemicals. So those are the toxins and bad things that I'm talking about in packaged processed foods. So if you're eating a diet high in sugar and crap like that, guess what? You can easily be driving your diet up. And then xenoestrogens, those are things in our plastic water bottles, our plastic food containers. You've got to get rid of the plastic. So don't rely on plastic to store your food ever, or to warm up food. You need to do glass, ceramic, those type of things that you got to wash, and use those on a regular basis. Because those xenoestrogens mimic real estrogen and confuse your body, and it just creates this overwhelm of estrogen. So if you're eating a diet of that, you may be able to see why maybe you have some of these symptoms. So let's talk about what symptoms would you really have if you had excess estrogen.
So how do you know if you have estrogen dominance? So the basic symptoms, there's a long list, so hang tight with me. Belly fat, or really just the midsection, because it can go not just in your belly, it can go on your back and your sides and kind of all the way around the middle. Can also kind of change the shape of your hips and your thighs, all those. If you randomly started seeing weight increasing in that area, you should start thinking estrogen. And in perimenopause, our estrogen starts to climb and kind of do a roller coaster ride where it's up and it's down and it's up and it's down. So that's where if you start noticing that midsection and thighs and hips are all getting more round, that could be why. Also erratic mood, you know, along with the, you know, the estrogen going up and down in perimenopause, you can also see the erratic mood with perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause because of its role in our, you know, our thinking and our thoughts. Depression, anxiety, both of those are also seen when your estrogen is really high, or the balance of estrogen to progesterone is really off. So when your estrogen goes really high for a long period of time, it can tank your progesterone. And when that, you know, is really low, then you have a huge gap and you can start feeling more anxious and nervous and irritable. And it can be just from that balance being so off. And your progesterone can be just so, so low. Then also PCOS or polycystic ovarian syndrome, that's another thing that's known for estrogen dominance or excess estrogen. Memory problems, you're having trouble remembering things. So that's where I talked about that brain connection. That is a thing that can happen during this phase and with excess estrogen. And I don't want to exclude any of the 20s and 30s, because can you totally have this? Yes, you can totally, totally have this in your 20s and 30s. So any of these signs, could think of it in your aspect, in your age range, and this could be estrogen dominance for you as well. So then you would play into the fact of infertility. So if you're in your 20s and 30s and you are trying to have children and you're not able, then you could think about, okay, what is my estrogen? Why am I not able to get pregnant? So that whole infertility thing, estrogen can be a connection. And then hair loss. Excess estrogen can jack up your hair loss and cause you to lose more hair. It can make you have horrible PMS, raging PMS, where you feel horrible and you act horrible and you're mean and nasty. So it can make you have horrible PMS. Makes you have a heavy menstrual bleeding. So if you have a heavy cycle, you could think about the excess estrogen. Or on the flip side, it could be that maybe you don't have too much estrogen. It could be that your progesterone is just so low, and that has taken a nosedive, and that's why the bleeding is worse. So that's where blood work comes in and can really help you determine, you know, what's driving this. If you clean up some of the things I start talking about here in a minute, and that is not solving the problem, you probably need to get a blood test and you need to find out what the heck is really driving this. Is it my progesterone or is it my estrogen? And then also for excess estrogen, you'll have a decreased sex drive or low libido. You also can be having problems with fibroids, and that could be an issue. Breast tenderness, and this is a pretty strong one. When your breasts get really tender, you should be thinking estrogen. That I've got too much estrogen, or my body is not, for some reason, not detoxifying this and getting it out. And that could be why. Also, migraines. So if you start having headaches or really, really intense headaches like migraines, that could be because your estrogen is too high and you got to get it down. And then also insulin resistance, just having that health condition where you are not able to kind of get your insulin in balance, that could be a driver of it. And getting the estrogen under control could help improve that. You will also notice some sleep problems, fluid retention, and of course, our weight gain. So those are all things. So if you have one or more, typically I would guess that you would have more than one. Not just the weight gain, you would notice some of these other symptoms in conjunction with the weight gain as a sign that, hey, I think maybe estrogen could be a potential for me. If you are a man, you are not excluded because guess what? Men have estrogen too. And we live in a world full of chemicals and things that mimic estrogen. So unfortunately, men have issues with being exposed to too much estrogen-like things. So it can mess up their balance. And that can lead to, you know, where they have loss of body hair, so they'll not be growing body hair. They're going to have more like a beer belly or a lot of it just going right in their midsection. Also, man boobs. So if your chest is growing and you're not really working out trying to make them, you could think estrogen. And then also you kind of start aging quickly, and that could be also the reason why. So health conditions that already are known for high estrogen is fibroids, ovarian cysts, fibrocystic breast disease. So if you have really fibrous breast tissue and they've told you that on mammograms, you need to think estrogen. Also endometriosis. If you've ever thought you had endometriosis or been diagnosed with endometriosis, think excess estrogen. And then of course the breast and endometrial cancers, those are also, or ovarian cancer, those are all related to you have too much estrogen or your body's not processing this. So think of estrogen like a bathtub. Is your bathtub overflowing with estrogen being too much? You have so much of it, so your environment is full of it, and your food choices are not helping you. It's kind of increasing that. Then that's where your bathtub would be too full. Or it could be that your drain is just clogged, and that's why it's backing up. So maybe it has nothing to do with your amount of estrogen. It has everything to do with the your body's ability to detoxify and remove it from your body. So what does that really mean? So when you think about estrogen, it goes through a couple of different areas that are super important for the whole function to work on your body metabolizing it. So you have to think about your gut and you have to think about your liver. So those two areas are probably the biggest impact. So when I talked about a clogged drain, that's where maybe your liver is not detoxifying it well. Maybe you have a genetic SNP, that MTHFR, and you don't detoxify well. So you need to support with some of those B vitamins to help your liver function correctly. And that could solve the problem. So, maybe iodine could be a thing, and that is also important for estrogen to be detoxified and for it to calm down estrogen and for progesterone to raise progesterone. So some of those things, it's all about what's happening in your liver and what's happening in your gut, because what happens if your liver does not detoxify it, it will get dumped into our gut and it's supposed to be excreted, but because your liver wasn't able to do its job, then it can get recirculated back through our body again. And that's when it can go down dangerous pathways that can be more prone to cancer. So that's why they talk about those estrogen-driven cancers like breast cancer. So they already know that. And if you have those genetic SNPs that you are more prone to breast cancer, you would definitely want to make sure that you are managing your estrogen well. So what do you do? What can you do? There are food things that you can do that are simple and can make a huge, huge impact. There are cruciferous vegetables, and these have a compound called indole-3-carbinol, or I3C, is what it is noted for, or kind of abbreviated for, I3C. And it is the broccoli, the cauliflower, the cabbage, the Brussels sprouts, the kale. Those are all cruciferous vegetables, and they and sulfur containing both combined, and they are fabulous at helping your body get rid of the estrogen. So it can kind of bind up with the estrogen and take it out in the stool. So consuming lots of broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, kale are going to be your friend. And you can do a whole lot with the your estrogen level and with kind of a clogged drain if you eat enough of these. So making sure that you eat some of these cruciferous vegetables every single day would really help this and help lower and bring that under control. Sometimes it's not perfect, and you might need support with some supplements that are kind of isolated, and I'll get to that in a minute. The next thing you can do food-wise is just fiber. Insoluble and soluble fiber both. So soluble fiber is kind of what makes like a gel-like thing in your stomach that fills you up, keeps you full longer, slows down digestion, so that your body has the time to get the most out of the food. So soluble fiber really works good and is a great way to, you know, kind of help your body support the gut piece so that you're excreting all of these. And if you're doing those cruciferous vegetables, they'll help carry the estrogen out. So these are foods like chia and flax seeds, pumpkin seeds, apples. All those are great sources of soluble fiber. And then insoluble fiber, those are foods like asparagus, raspberries, almonds. All those actually have the ability to block the absorption of estrogen, any estrogen-based compound. So those are the foods that I talked about earlier, with the tofu, the soy milk, the soy protein isolate, the RBGH in conventional dairy, excess sugars and toxins in crappy food, and then the xenoestrogens from plastic water bottles and plastic containers. Those are all the things I'm talking about. Making sure you eat enough fiber. So 35 grams of fiber should be your goal. And if you do our 10-day and our 30-day Back on Track program, those we throw in and we make tons of fiber a thing so that you're getting a good idea of what 35 grams of fiber should look like. So making sure that you really get all those vegetables in will really help maximize your fiber intake so that you can decrease the estrogen in your body and support your liver and your gut. So cruciferous vegetables, soluble and insoluble fiber are all going to help with estrogen. The insoluble help block the absorption of the estrogen, and then the soluble fiber will help kind of slow it down so everything can be taken care of. And one really cool study was able to show that blocking of external estrogen absorption, so these fibers that block the absorption, those insoluble fibers, will play a significant role in cancer prevention. So women who consume 30 grams of fiber daily have a 32% reduction in cancer risk. So pretty impressive in my book, 32%, just by really beefing up on your insoluble and soluble fibers so that you can really benefit your health. And then there's also something I didn't mention earlier. All those cruciferous vegetables, they also have some cancer-fighting compounds. The sulforaphane, it's a phytochemical that is found in these, you know, cruciferous vegetables. They are actually found to prevent cancer, inhibit the growth of tumors in the body. So the fiber and cruciferous vegetables alone really are helping improve your odds of preventing cancer and really just changing that whole pathway and how it looks for more positive outcomes and preventing you from having these horrible life-altering changes in your health that you could be doing things to prevent it. So
zinc also can play a role in detoxifying estrogen and kind of blocking that estrogen expression. So this will help if you consume foods that are rich in zinc. So that would be pumpkin seeds, beef, oysters. Those are all great sources of zinc to get just from your food. I would not take a zinc supplement just to simplify it. I would, because you can get a disruption in your copper if you take too much zinc. So you can't just randomly take zinc without copper support, at least for not long periods of time. And so that's where, you know, maybe a window, a bottle of zinc, and then you stop, or you buy a zinc that has copper in it is the only way I treat zinc deficiencies. But when it comes to estrogen, I wouldn't just jump on a supplement. I would try to do it with food first. And then we would already have that as a backup if you need more. And then the last one is the, I guess, most powerful one, and it's DIM, diindole methionine. So this one is kind of a sister to the indole 3-carbinol, the I3C. This is considered 2-I3C. So DIM, D-I-M, diindole methionine. And this is really just a compound that is more potent than the I3C. And it's great at protecting against breast cancer, at reducing estrogen dominance. It actually should be used as a first-line therapy for hormone balance. So if you know you have estrogen dominance and you have too much estrogen based on all these symptoms we talked about, then DIM is something that you would want to consider adding to supplement with. And I would work with a skilled healthcare professional to help you do this correctly in the right doses, because it's powerful. It's not something that you just pick up and just do on your own. I would definitely get some help so you do it right. But any of those conditions that I talked about, PMS, PCOS, endometriosis, fibroids, fibroid tumors, menopausal symptoms, so any of the crazy things that happens with menopause, this could be a way to improve that. And then weight problems. Actually, research has shown that DIM improves weight loss resistance when it's due to hormone imbalances. So if you're really putting on weight because of these hormones being out of whack, so that would be, hey, all of a sudden I started putting on pounds and I really didn't change my diet, I didn't change my lifestyle excessively, that it feels weird that I'm putting on pounds for no reason. This is something that you can consider as kind of a thing to hang your hat on and try. So find a practitioner that can help you do this so that you can do it correctly in the right doses. But DIM is very powerful and very cool. I use it myself, and it is something that I highly recommend to kind of get the estrogen moving out of your body like it's supposed to,
and not let it go down those cancerous pathways. So a recap. Cruciferous vegetables, broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, kale. All every day, make those a thing and eat as much of them as possible. Every meal, try to do a little bit of something so that you are getting those in every single day. And then fiber, get 35 grams of fiber. Those cruciferous vegetables are going to help. They have lots of fiber. But then also throw in your chia and flax seeds and pumpkin seeds and do all those and just try to get in lots of fiber in a day. And then zinc. Get your zinc-rich foods, pumpkin seeds, beef, oysters. Make those a part of your day so that you are getting everything in. And then the DIM. This is a supplement. You're not going to get this isolated in a food in adequate amounts to do work, enough work to give you results. So that's where that's a supplement that comes in and is awesome. I can totally feel it in a week. I can get my estrogen under control most of the time. And if there was one time I didn't, and it was because my iodine was low. So it's all interwoven. Iodine plays a role in estrogen metabolism too. So in hypothyroid, you can be iodine deficient. So that is, they all play a role, and you can't take iodine without selenium. So, you know, you need a practitioner to help you do this. Don't just pick up DIM and who knows what dose you would choose, and you may feel like crap because you're doing the wrong thing at the wrong dose. So anyway, I really hope this has helped someone, because it is truly powerful in getting the pounds off, especially when you have too much or you have these health conditions already. You may already know I need help with my estrogen because I'm just going to keep putting on pounds. So that's where you really have to work with someone. So I hope this has helped you. If you get in our 30-day Back on Track class, we eat a ton of cruciferous vegetables. We make that a thing. We eat a ton of fiber. So if you really don't know how to do it and you want to do it right, join our 30-day class. That will improve your estrogen level just going through that 30-day class. We show you how to do all of that. So join us for that. Just get on our website and register for that, or get signed up now. And join us in the Gastric Health Club. We can talk about this very topic in there. But love to chat with any of you if you have questions on it. So thanks for joining us again this week, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.